Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us today for our Proctor podcast, being recorded from our very own pod up here in Perthshire in Scotland. Today, we're going to be discussing the concept of converting commercial buildings to domestic use and some of the things around how you achieve that, considerations that need to be made. And joining me today, I have two very well-informed people on this topic. Our sales director, John Johnson. Morning, John.
Morning, Kira.
And our senior technical advisor, Pamela Howitt. Morning, Pam.
Morning, Kira.
So where do we start with this, guys? Pam, do you want to talk us into, you know, why it is we want to discuss this on a podcast? What's important about it?
Yeah, I think in a lot of cases there's a huge amount of focus on new build and, you know, starting redesigning buildings from the ground up. But the reality in the UK is there's a huge amount of existing building stock, but that might not all be residential type buildings. There's a huge number of sort of derelict or semi-derelict factories, office blocks, certainly since things like the shift in home working post-COVID. You know, there's a lot of large city centre and, you know, office blocks that are sitting partially occupied or not occupied at all because people have gone to a more hybrid, more streamlined way of working. So what do you do with these buildings? They've still got many years of life in them. Is there a way to reappropriate them? Equally on the historic side, you know, lots of sort of like old mills and textile factories and industrial units throughout, especially some of the sort of the Northeast England, Midlands areas and into Scotland. Huge number of those types of buildings which can be converted into really quite desirable residences because they can be quite central to a city. And really, you know, the only other option in a lot of these cases would be to take them down and build again, but that can come with its own problems with contaminated land and restricted sites and everything. So why remove something when it could be potentially repurposed? Just reuse, recycle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we do, you're right, there's a lot of empty buildings. Even when you go up the local high street now, there's shops, you know, that could be converted into apartments. Also, not so much in the towns, but certainly out in the country, you've got farms, large farms that have got lots of farm buildings, cottages that farm workers have lived in over the years. That require upgrading to bring them up to more modern standard, trying to eliminate the use of fossil fuels and coal in some of these properties to try and keep them warm. There is a massive need to insulate them and insulate them properly. A lot of these old buildings tend to be solid 600 mil thick stone, and depending on the type of stone, whether it be granite or sandstone, they all perform slightly differently from a moisture point of view. And I know Pamela and the team spend a lot of time doing calculations based on solid walls and what's the best way to insulate them. And it could be down to the wall thickness, the size of the building, the size of the rooms that they want. Certainly down in the London area, square foot area of flooring is crucial. So they don't want to put thick insulation in strap walls. And sometimes you're maybe putting insulation on that's got a foil on the back of it that could cause condensation problems because walls typically aren't breathing. So it's looking at all the options and what fits the budget best and also what fits the requirements of the building.
Yeah. There's also things like, you know, internal, external. Yeah. A lot of buildings could be, you know, more modern ones could be, you know, reclad, so you could strip the outside off and quite happily update that by a recladding. But a lot of like the traditional buildings, you know, even like the agricultural buildings you're talking about, John, you know, they can't be externally upgraded because it would seriously impact on the aesthetics. It's very much about using the right materials for the right application. But things like energy efficiency can be achieved with a simple solution like Raptite, internally and externally, where you're looking at the air tightness, so you're reducing the air leakage. And that's quite a quick gain without having to put masses of insulation on a wall.
What are some of the concerns, Pam, around not doing these buildings properly?
Well, I mean, one of the big ones is that obviously your sort of your moisture management side of things, as John touched on, if you pick the wrong type of insulation or put it in the wrong placement, you could actually cause trapment of moisture and take that building fabric, which, you know, could have been up for 20 years, could have been up for 200 years, and suddenly render it uninhabitable very, very quickly. Sometimes the ventilation strategy for these bigger buildings are totally different to the ventilation strategy and the moisture management strategy that's needed for domestic housing, because you've got more people concentrated, you've got cooking, sleeping and washing and drying. And that's not catered for in the fabric of an an office building. So you do have to sometimes look at how you can manage that side of things. And one of the other things that people quite often don't think about is the acoustic aspect, the sound transfer. You know, these floors are not necessarily built to accommodate houses, and this requirement to have your own little island of tranquility at the end of the day, in theory. So if you sort of go in and you don't take into account that you have to look at the floors, it's not just the thermal, then you could be heading for problems as well. But it's mainly, if you don't look at it right, you could actually seriously damage the integrity of the structure over time.
And are there regulations that kind of help direct people how to go about this? Anything they should be looking for?
Yeah, I think the building regs do have some quite good guidance on conversions of buildings, both from the acoustic point of view and the thermal points of view. And obviously all the regulations and recommendations are there anyway for what ventilation should be incorporated into buildings. So they tend not to be as onerous as new builds, because obviously there's restrictions. And in a lot of cases, depending on the building, you may be able to apply to your local authority for relaxation to actually make it more viable. Certainly the acoustics isn't as critical, but actually some historic buildings have got some really, really good acoustic performance in their floors anyway. I remember going to Wakefield and doing an acoustic test, and it was an old student accommodation and lecture theatres that were being converted, but it had been converted from what was a house into non-domestic and then going back into flats. And yeah, it was quite surprising how good some of those floors actually were.
Well, traditionally they'd put the old ash out of the fires in between the joists. I think I remember some of the projects in Glasgow where they were actually stripping that old ash out, which was fantastic, and then replacing it with great big bags of Quietex, which is an acoustic replacement for it, when they could have done it with the existing material.
Yeah, absolutely. But
it's not just old buildings. You know, we look at the housing stock now. There was a huge build of housing stock after the Second World War, so a lot of properties in the late 50s, 60s and even early 70s are now substandard from an insulation point of view, and the cost of energy is continually rising, so people do need to address that. Local authorities, housing associations, and we're in touch with a lot of them, are kind of scratching their heads as to how can we insulate this without losing a lot of room and space within the building. They've got maybe a nice brick external at the front, and we can do hybrid, so they could use like an aerogel product on the internal, on the front face, and then use maybe an external wall system where they can beef the insulation up on the back of the walls where people don't see that. So it's not all about one product or one solution fits all. It's looking at the location, what can be done to maximise and minimise energy cost.
And I mean, we're sort of talking about sort of modern buildings are being stripped back. There's an awful lot of old buildings like churches, you know, like single use ones that are being converted, you know. I know up here in Scotland, there's so many churches being sold off because congregations are amalgamating. What do you do with those buildings that, you know, have still got a lot of life in them? They can make beautiful homes, really stunning homes, but you want to keep some of those internal features. So how do you tackle that without, you know, destroying what makes that building special?
They can't. I've seen some beautiful churches. Unfortunately, quite a few of them are right smack bang in the middle of a graveyard. I saw one for sale recently, and it's all been renovated, and it looks lovely, but I don't think I could cope with that, unfortunately.
Great for the kids playing hide and seek.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, have you seen these containers that are being... I think we did a project with containers that was being made into offices,
but now there's
a few being made into domestic dwellings, right?
Yeah, yeah. I suppose it's not much different to modular and offsite, is it? It's the original, but yeah, I mean, that's quite an exciting reuse of these things, because once they've sort of done their job as a shipping container, what else do you do with them? It's a massive amount of steel that would take a massive amount of energy to repurpose. But yeah.
involved in one at the moment with a chap called Jay Petty. Jay does quite a lot of podcasts, Jay and Joseph Michael Daniels, and they've partnered up to build container student accommodation. And it's going through some testing at the moment. The original prototype that they did, they were looking at putting Tesla batteries in the floor, solar panels on the roof, so when the students are at university during the day, they're regenerating and using Raptite on the inside. So that's really exciting, because the universities, to get an overseas student in, the subsidy for these for accommodation in London is £5,000 a month. So they've teamed up with about four or five universities at the moment, and there's an order. They've got an order for 1,000 containers, which the universities will put on the campus and then rent them out. So great. They look fantastic, and these guys are doing a brilliant job. Brilliant job with these.
I think you touched on a good point there. The cost of living and the cost of renting, especially in a lot of the cities, are probably driving a lot of these big office blocks and things like that being converted into residential. Because you can't keep spreading out, you know, and it's just frightening the cost in some of these cities and for accommodation.
It's also a shame to see so many of these buildings just being left or knocked down when there is such a housing crisis.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know there's a push to build lots of new housing, but we should really be addressing the situation that we've got with a lot of old warehouses, shops. I mean, you go into the local town here in Perth, which is not far from us, and there's huge supermarkets, you know, the old Debenham store, which could, I think it's about five stories high, they could make some really good accommodation in there, be it sheltered accommodation or fancy apartments. You know, there's the opportunity there rather than leaving a building just to...
I mean, I think in the UK we're better than a lot of countries at doing it, to be fair, in terms of refurbishment and, you know, changed use. If you take places like, you know, Japan, where houses are built to last 20 years, if that, at times, and they kind of knock them down and rebuild. And yes, they're very affordable. But again, what I like about how we do things in the UK is we're managing to keep, you know, the kind of aesthetics of what dates back in history. So we're quite good at encouraging people to come up with innovative ways to re-insulate, to retain the features of properties internally and externally. I mean, there's some beautiful old Victorian buildings that, you know, something as simple as keeping the cornicing is achievable depending on what materials you choose to insulate with, such as, you know, space serum and the Raptite type products. So I think we're definitely getting better, and there's more coverage now in the media around, you know, the housing shortage, the cost of living, as you said, Pam, and we're being forced to come up with new solutions to repurpose these buildings.
Yeah, I mean the space therm products, as we know, they're not the cheapest products on the market, but they are very good from a thermal point of view at reducing the thickness that's required on a wall. So it may be that you use a hybrid system. You know, if you've got an old church that's got really nice cornicing or exposed beams that you want to still see and have that as a feature, then you could in theory take a wall and put 150mm Rockwool or a Kingspan type PIR system in it, take it up so far, and then put a ledge at the top, and then have your aerogel up against the wall, and on the ledge have little spotlights that could, you know, that can spot
just takes a little bit of sort of clever working and internal design to be able to accommodate things like that and stagger them. Absolutely. And some of these big, you know, these commercial buildings have got massive floor spaces, you know, so you actually could create some really quite desirable large living areas for people. Our local primary school is an example of that, you know. It's,
they've done a great job there.
They look stunning from the outside with the great big soaring ceilings and windows, lots of natural light. I know that's not always going to be possible with a lot of buildings, but certainly some of the sort of city centre ones can also really hopefully knock down on sort of some of the impact of people having to have cars to get in and out. So you've got people living and working within the city, so you're reducing pollution coming in, you're reducing the need for car parking. Or these buildings may already have car parks from when they were occupied as offices. So it's sort of a catch-22 situation where it can be, you know, really beneficial to have people living and working, you know, within a bus ride or a cycle or a walk, and not having to commute for hours.
Mm. absolutely.
Yeah. And we see a lot with the National Trust. We work quite closely with them, the National Trust for Scotland, and some of their old buildings, and also which used to be the Prince's Trust. If you take Stanley Mills, for instance, I mean, they've done a fantastic job down there making that into apartments and also one and two bedroom flats, a full old mill building, and it looks absolutely fantastic. A lot of time and effort went into getting the specification right on that.
Huge number of buildings have done that in Dundee. And even in Blair here, one of the mills, Keith Bank Mill, that I used to work in, and quite a few people in Proctors used to to work there when it was a visitor attraction. But that was converted into flats, and that used our acoustic levelling system in the floors there to provide the acoustics and to take out those uneven sub-levels.
Big cambers on these floors.
Huge amount. Yeah. And just sort of like the step up between various areas. So, you know, it's there, you know, there's a lot of opportunities out there, but I think it does involve looking very much at the building before you even start. I mean, there's always going to be contingencies, but do a lot of initial investigation as to what's there. You know, do some initial sound testing, because there's no point in ripping it up if you don't have to. But sometimes the best solution is to strip it right back and start again. Yeah. If you get the initial surveying and studies right, then you can come up with some really quite exciting finished buildings.
Yeah, I would agree. I remember working with Angus Council. I think you were involved in this one, Pamela, where we the government initiative back in the early 90s was to fill the cavities with fibre. And what had happened is the fibre got wet on the north and northwest facing walls, hadn't had a chance to dry out. And then the actual external leaf became saturated. So in the winter that was freezing and it popped the render off. So you had an actual frozen external leaf and a saturated wall. And the people inside coming in at 5 o'clock at night after a day's work, turning the heating on, and it's just not going to work. It's just, you're never going to heat a wet wall. So by putting the space theorem laminate on that wall, they eventually did take the fibre out of the cavity, because that, you're just masking the problem. But the initial putting the aerogel space theorem laminate on the wall made a huge difference to the tenants. And it was the same tenant that went back in. He said it was like a new house. You know, they were turning their heating off at sort of 9:30 at night, and the building was still warm during the night, whereas before they were spending a fortune on heating the building. And that was relatively new. I think these were built in the late 60s.
And yeah, they wouldn't be that old, no.
And they couldn't do external wall insulation on them, because a lot of the apartments in there were owner-occupiers, so some wouldn't want to have external walls. So you'd end up with this lovely building with it like a patchwork quilt of who wants external insulation and who doesn't. So doing it internally saves a lot of mess. It saves a lot of issues, because I know one of the projects they did put external wall insulation on, the kids were running around the scaffolding at night, knocking on people's windows, and scaffolding poles going through people's gardens and patios, and it's just messy. So having it done internally is it's easier to manage.
And it's quicker.
It's quicker,
I think one of the areas that we do also need to look at with regards to these types of refurbishments and reuses is the funding of them. So in a lot of cases, people deem them to be too expensive. So I think we really need to look at ways of either providing more sustainable funding or solutions to be able to make retrofitting and refurbishment and conversions of existing commercial buildings more viable than knocking them down and starting again. Because it's going to get to the point where, you know, what do you do? You just can't knock down every building. You know, there's still life in these buildings. But I know some of the sites that we've been on recently, you know, they're saying really great prototype, but there's just not the funding available because it's deemed too expensive. But I don't know where you go with that, but I think that needs like a sort of a governmental shift.
And also we've got a lot of new, you know, reusable technology coming in now. We've got the air source heat pumps. There's a lot more solar panels going onto buildings. So these can also help accommodate and reduce the overall energy costs of some of these older buildings.
And they make a huge difference as well as not having to run new services into them as well, if you can get something that's almost like a plug-and-play system.
So that's all well and good when we're talking about the housing stock. What about in space-critical areas? I mean, what about around windows?
Yeah, they're always going to be a real problem. Regardless of what type of building, and sometimes more so in commercial where you don't have the same sort of space. So as we've touched on and talked about, products like our Space Therm are absolutely ideal. We have the blanket in itself. We have like a range of laminates that means that it's a one fix into the walls, like our space there multi, you know, you can sort of put a degree of isolation in there in sort of like 16 millimetres and then skim it over, and you can join that in with additional insulations, and that's where it really complements you know, other types of insulation using the space there around the window reveals. You know, you can even use it behind sort of, in some cases, I remember when I was at school, I did a week in an architect's office, and we actually looked at placing an internal structural frame within an existing building because it couldn't take any loading. That type of building now would have massive cold bridging around the steels. So again, space therm is ideal for that, and even a wrap therm where you're combining the air tightness of wrap tight with the thermal performance of space therm is really useful. So there's lots of ways of tackling window reveals, but space therm is a really, really good way of doing it well, thinly, and knowing that your insulation is not going to be affected by moisture either.
Yeah,
it's a product we're asked quite a lot about, because no window reveal, certainly in some of these big historic buildings where you've got 600 mil thick stone walls, you know, the window reveals are very critical, because if you can't put 100 mil insulation across a wall and then take 100 mil round a window detail,
it's impossible unless you've got massive windows.
That's it. And we can supply a cut and supply service there, so we can actually make the boards, cut them to the exact size you need, using the MGO board bonded to the original or the space therm product. So we can cut these to size, or we can supply the blanket cut to size that you can then fit directly in there. But it's not just in housing. I mean, we've done a lot of other projects. We've put space therm into canal boats. I think Pamela's put it in her camper van.
Not personally, but I have recommended it to a number of people.
Yeah. one of our marketing people that work in our marketing, Graham, I know he does a bit of snowboarding and stuff, so he's got aerogel in his van, so it keeps him warm in the winter.
And it's certainly an area that we've invested in a lot as a company, because we've put all of the technical team through training to be able to do thermal bridging and size value calculations for round windows. So that might, you know, is probably going to be something that we'll be able to advise on this year and be able to provide calculation service as well. We're still undergoing our final stages at the time of recording this.
I'm sure by the time it goes out,
We will have a service. Yes,
good.
Another additional technical service.
Absolutely,
which is crucial on some of these older buildings. You know, the devil's in the detail, and it is getting these detailed areas. You know, where you think, how can I get insulation in there? Because if you don't, then you do get cold bridging and condensation issues. So yeah, it's key in getting these areas looked at properly.
Okay, well, thank you both very much for joining today and sharing your views on converting the use of old buildings into domestic dwellings. I think you've identified, you know, huge amounts of information in terms of the, you know, the regulations, what's out there, what we can do to help, and also some of the pressing issues that we're facing here in the UK with regards to the housing shortage. So thank you both very much for your time.
You're welcome, thank you.
Brilliant. Just say, if people are listening into this and you've got an old building and you want to understand, you know, how that building's performing or what sort of level of insulation, then, you know, get in touch with us. Pamela and the team at the technical desk can carry out current new value calculations, so we'll tell you how your building's performing now, and then we can introduce insulation into that and again tell you how well that's going to perform. And also, key is identify where the condensation risk is, if there is any, and how to eliminate that.
Thank you, John. And thank you very much to all of our listeners. We do have more podcasts coming your way on various topics, all within the construction sector. So please keep an eye out for when those are, and we hope to have you back with us soon.